Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, final hour here of an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. It's Felger and Mav, brought to you by DraftKings, Murray and Matt McCarthy in our Town Fair Tire Studios. I'm in the remote A-hole chair location. For the final day, I think I'll be joining you on Monday, finally.
Oh, finally out of quarantine, eh?
Finally, I will have served my quarantine, and then some. So, looking forward to being back with you folks.
We should put Felger in the glass case over there.
It gets a little cold.
The hot box.
Bring a hoodie or something, Felger. We'll quarantine you in the glass case if takes.
I haven't been in since all the plexiglass and all the protective glassware has gone up. It looks good. I like it. I like that separation there. Anyway, that's a Monday. Your final hour for your wonderful phone calls. And as you've heard, the Bruins are back at it tomorrow at noon. What are you expecting from them, Murray, tomorrow?
I think you're going to see a better showing than you saw in this capitulation in this last game. I think you're going to see a better roster put out there, too, by Bruce Cassidy. They're not going to get blown the F out. But I will say, as a fan, selfishly, and I know there's obviously bigger problems in the world, I need them to win this game because I don't have much when it comes to sports right now. I really don't. I'm glad the NBA is back and the Celtics are going to play on Sunday, too. But if they lose tomorrow, like, for all intents and purposes, it's over. Like, we know that, right? Like, they're not going to win the series. Maybe they win Monday, but they're not going to win the series. So it's a must win. I think you're going to get a better showing. And, you know, I think you're looking at maybe a 2-1, 3-2 game, and I hope it goes their way. I don't know, because Tampa's just so damn good.
So I absolutely expect them to respond. Absolutely. It still might not be good enough. And that's the problem there. That I think they'll show up. I'm pretty sure they'll show up. But Tampa's better. It may even be only a little better, but they're better. And so if Tampa puts it all together, then they still should win. But I fully expect the Bruins, not just their track record of generally showing up, they'll choke, but it's not because they don't care, they don't show up. Sometimes they care too much and they get tight. But I fully expect them to bounce back, okay? And also because they've come this far. They've come this far to lose Game 7 the way they did last year and then commit to this year the way they did. And fight through the hangover and do everything they can to get back and put themselves back in a spot to be a Stanley Cup favorite, best record in the regular season, odds on Vegas favorite to win the cup. They and Tampa, I think, were tied in Vegas odds to win the cup. And then to, commit to going to the bubble, and they've been away from their families now for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever it is, just to sort of quit here at the end. That's, what a waste.
Yeah, they're just not built that way. And we've seen the quit, even in the NHL bubble. I mentioned last week, Calgary, that series with Dallas. You saw it with the Washington Capitals. They're just not that team mentally. And I know this has been frustrating for these guys to be up there and be away from their families, but that ain't them. And it's selfishly, just please extend this series, because I've enjoyed this so much. Like, I really, the NHL product, I think, has been awesome. And, I'm a Bruins fan. I want to see them go as far as they possibly can. But again, I have worries because, man, Tampa's good.
So the my biggest worry, frankly, other than the fact that Tampa's better, is I just hope Halak is not psychologically damaged, that I hope he hasn't lost so much confidence.
Yeah.
That, it just goes from bad to worse. He's been shaky, and I think his body language in this last game, did you see the scene in the tunnel when they were going out for the third period, I think it was, and he was talking to Vladar before they went out on the ice?
No.
There was just this conversation where I don't know what it was. I worry a little bit about Halak's body language and his mental state, and when I say mental state, I mean like his confidence, his sports confidence. I'm not talking about his mental health or anything, but, where's he at You know, is he confident? Are they confident in him? Is that fragile? If there's a bad one that goes in early, is there capitulation? Like, that's honestly my biggest worry. I think the team's going to show up. I think they're going to show. I think they're going to be there. I think they're going to atone for the other night and, you know, empty the bucket. But if there's a bad goal early and, you know, do they look over their shoulder and say, this guy doesn't have it? Does Halak say I don't have it? And that's honestly become my biggest worry.
Yeah, because if you end up seeing the 6-6 flopping salmon again in this game, well, it's... It ain't going to be good, and it'll be over Monday night.
Okay. So, and you know, I've mentioned before, I think this is, I think they're playing for the, really, they're for this.
Well, this core, this is it, right?
It's the Chara window.
Yeah, it's the last kick of the can. I mean, they're by no means, and we talked about this a bit yesterday, in that they're by no means going to be one of the dregs of the league. But for the guys that we love and that we've been watching here for a while that you feel like should have at least another cup, your Charas, your Bergeron, like that core, like, you know, one of the main pieces is probably going to retire here. And that'll be it because he's looked slow as F and there's going to be a lot of changes. So, yeah, they'll still be really competitive. But for this core, this is it. This is their last real chance to win a cup.
Last gasp. It's the last gasp of the Chara window. I didn't think we'd have it this year. I thought last year would have been it. But they picked themselves up and put themselves back in position. So this is it.
And the goalie went home.
Tomorrow afternoon is it. And right, you know who doesn't care about his legacy or the window is Tuukka Rask, which is, you know, tragic on this level, which is just so sad. he doesn't really care if he wins or not, or they win or not, or they get that ultimate, you know, sort of validation of their run. Like, he doesn't, it's not, I don't think it's the most important thing to him, which is too bad.
Yeah, it's well, you often hear sometimes, like, these guys don't care as much as the fans do, and isn't this kind of proof of it? Like, I don't know. Like, geez, man, like, I don't know. Can't you care a little bit more? Especially once you go. Again, I supported any of these guys, whatever sport they were playing. Before you went, you didn't want to go. I get it. Once you're there, dude, like, ride it out.
But I really felt like this Bruins team did care, right? I mean, we saw that from, I mean, and I think, and I'm not saying that they don't. I mean, they certainly do. But we saw them rally around Game 7 all year long, right? They were the President's Trophy winning team. I mean, they were as elite gets. But if you get into the bubble and you get to the brink of elimination against a better team in Tampa, do you eventually worry about the, I don't want to call it the quit factor with this team because I think it would be too harsh, but, you know, the factor where they say, you know what? Our last gasp was last year. It wasn't this year. You know, this is just a weird season. We're in the bubble. We didn't get to atone for it, but, you know, our last gasp was really last year in Game 7. Because you talked about being,
I don't see it in this game, Matt.
In this game, but I'm saying if Tampa goes, you know, up with a 3-game advantage.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think it's over. If they go up 3-1, it's over.
Right.
And I also think you'll get capitulation if, okay, I'll just make it 2 goals. If it's 2-0 in the first period and Halak's given up a softie or 2, I think the natural thing to say is, well, we can't win with this guy.
Right.
So let's just go home. And it's not really about Game 7 last year or about the window. It's about, all right, we've been away from our family for 6 weeks and this goalie isn't good enough. So, you know, let's go. Like that I think that's what happened in that game the other night.
I totally think so, because when do you ever see the Bruins collapse the way that they collapsed the other night?
Never.
Over, and you know, for a team that they handle adversity pretty well, right? And there was adversity in that first period. A couple bad calls, things go against them. That's never really fazed them. I mean, go back to Carolina. They were down, what, 3 goals in game 4 or whatever it was in the third period. It doesn't faze this team, not one bit. To see that capitulation from them was striking to me, Mike. It really was. And I wonder if that's where they look back there and they say, not with this guy. You know, if we can win if we're up 2 goals, but not if we're down 2 goals with this guy.
Okay, good first period for Halak. Essential.
Critical.
Essential in this game. All right, back to your thoughts on everything. Mike in the truck on the Bees. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys mentioned the decline of Chara. You know, you're talking about they're not the big bad Bruins anymore. I do feel like they do need some kind of physical presence, and he's the guy to do it because he's not giving you a whole heck of a lot else out there. And I really don't understand why they're not just throwing him out at the blue line and having him shoot from, you know, shoot his rocket of a shot and trying to get some second chances off of that. They're not really using
He doesn't have a rocket of the shot anymore. He doesn't have a – he doesn't – when's the last time you saw Zdeno Chara? He used to have the hardest shot in the NHL. When's the last time you saw him wind up and rip one from the blue line? He doesn't even do that
anymore. 5 years ago.
Right. It's been like 5 or 6 years.
I mean, he almost never does it. And he's just – he's not – like, he used to be a little bit of a factor offensively. He's been 0.0 offensively. Like, zero. I mean, now that I think of it, he used to be good for at least a flipping or two at the blue line that would get deflected or – like, he's not even been doing that. Not even close. I'm still sinking and swimming with Zdeno Chara. I'm going down with the ship with Zdeno Chara. It's his team, his window. They follow him. I think he brings out inspiration in those guys. I still do think he has value in his own zone in select situations. Not in this last game. But I think in general, I think he's value add. He'll be one of the reasons they win, not one of the reasons they lose. I've been saying that for months. It hasn't borne out, but I'll just go down with the ship with that. That's just the way it is. Steve in the car on the Bees. What do you got, Steve?
Guys, they should have never been in a situation where that they have just a slightly open window. Any good organization, and Harry Sinden did it for years. I mean, he traded Esposito, he traded this one and that one. He kept that organization. That was the number one organization for winning.
Are you on crack, Steve?
He was, well.
Harry went 35 years and never won a championship.
And didn't care.
What are you talking about? He finished third in a four-team division, made the playoffs because 16 out of 21 teams made the playoffs at one time. And that was the era, that 80s into the 90s, when making the NHL playoffs was a freaking joke. And so you made it like 30 straight years. What did that amount to?
I think that was Harry Sinden on the phone.
What, oh, my God. Like, I mean, Harry was a good GM. He had a great eye for talent. He was also cheap as hell. He and the owner conspired to, they were more, way more concerned about keeping salaries down than building a cup winner. And that's just unfortunate because Harry was good. He was a talented GM. He was great, in fact. But he got in his own way when it came to the salaries and the labor issue. Why would you hold up Harry Sinden, who had the job for 30-something years and never won a cup?
Right, play the hits. Model. At least go to the 2015 draft, dude. Like, that's what everyone wants to
Fine.
Pitch about.
Exactly. I mean, they screwed the pooch in 2015. No doubt about it. I do think Sweeney has made up for it. He hasn't totally atoned for it, but they're not screwed. I mean, if and when they lose this year, they're going to be fine next year. It's not a complete rebuild by any stretch. Pastrnak's 24, McAvoy's 22 or 23, Marchand's in his prime, Charlie Coyle's in his prime. You know, they've got enough to be a playoff team. I mean, I don't think they're going to be out of the playoffs next year. They shouldn't be. They're going to have to retool, and I don't think they're going to be on a cup run next year or anytime soon. I think this might be it. But I think they're in decent shape. But yeah, they screwed up 2015. There's no question about that. Gary in Southbridge on the Patriots and their offense. Bully ball. You ready for it, Gary?
Yeah, I sure am. How you doing, Falgie?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to talk about – I agree with everything you guys have said about the quarterback plan. Bill got lucky because this thing – he's looking pretty good. I think Cam's got a higher ceiling than Dalton and Winston and a lot cheaper. And then I believe Cam's still learning the Patriots offense. And then,
okay. Well, I'm going to stop you there because I think that's an interesting point. Did Bill secretly think that Andy Dalton was going to be there, and Andy Dalton fits their scheme a little bit better, and that was a guy that was going to be left standing? That's what Peter King was talking about way back when. You know, the Andy Dalton truther movement.
Yeah,
and he was just onto something. And well, wouldn't you know it? Somehow, for some reason, Dallas wanted him and wanted to pay him real money, and so Andy Dalton wasn't there.
I mean, Mike, did you ever think that guy was going to get $7 million?
No, God, no.
So do you think Bill, what do you think Bill felt? You know, so I think that guy was, oh God, it pains me that that's what the plan was. Andy Dalton actually probably would be a good fit for this system. I mean, it's made the best out of Matt Castle and even Jimmy Garoppolo. So Dalton would be able to work in it. Would they actually win a Super Bowl with it? Probably not, but he'd be fine in it. I'll even admit that. So that was the plan. But he goes for $7 million, and then what's the plan? Who's left? Who's going to take my crap deal? Maybe it'll be Jameis Winston. No, he got a decent amount of money from New Orleans. Who's left? Oh, I don't know, Cam Newton. Yeah, but he's banged up. He's still out there. So he's on the phone with Cam Newton month after month, week after week. Well, we're still here. I'm still here. You want to get together? I'll only give you $1 million. Eh, I don't know about that. And then finally, Cam realizes, oh, God, you know what? I need to rehabilitate myself, show the league I'm still...
No, you're missing it. All of a sudden, Stidham decides to go to Texas in the middle of the offseason workouts, and Bill says, screw this.
Yeah.
I can't hitch my wagon to this. Finally, let's bring in Newton.
But he signed Newton on the eve of their anniversary, which is confirmed.
But I also think that no one was also biting on Cam Newton really played into this, too. Because, who knows what it would have been. He probably just would have went with Stidham, even though they don't trust him. He still went to the stupid weddings or whatever. But Cam Newton had no other suitors, so he ends up with him for $1 million. And maybe it works out, because the guy is a former MVP, and he's very talented as long as he's healthy. But, man, that was not a plan at all. When your plan was Andy Dalton, but you couldn't get him on the cheap, so then it was, we'll see. Let's see what happens. Who'll take my crap deal? That's no plan at all.
Preach it, Murray. Love it. Back to your phones right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On review of that game, do you feel today that it was one that got away, or are there signs of something more serious with the team?
No, I was fine with our start. It was a good first period. Good chances early on. Bergie shorthanded Pasta. So we're in the game. You know, a couple of things didn't go our way, and then obviously we need to be better on the penalty kill. But now you're chasing the game, so... As I said last night, Matt, I think we didn't respond well after being down 2-0. That was clear. They were much better than us. But I liked our start. Unfortunately, it didn't go our way. So now it's on to game four.
So, I don't know. We'll see how they come out. That's all that matters. I wish Cassie would stop saying he'd like to start. I don't think they were all that great to start. I really don't. They took a stupid penalty early on, which they killed, and then got a great shorthanded chance. He's right, when Tampa screwed up behind their own net. But that doesn't mean they got off to a good start, and they took another stupid penalty, and we're down 1-0, and then their defenseman got tackled by the linesman, and they're down 2-0. I know it's a bad break, but do you think they were, like, all over Tampa to start that game?
No, not at all. No. I didn't really... I mostly love Cassidy. I think he might be my favorite of the coaches in the city because he's usually so blunt. But this felt like a disingenuous postgame to me, and the way he's talked about it since. Like, they played like complete ass. Your lineup was ass. I would have liked to have seen him come out that night and say, it starts with me. I made bad decisions in terms of the personnel tonight, and he did anything but.
Absolutely. It was. I don't think they came out great. I think it was starting with the lineup, good point. It was... felt like a given or a scheduled loss, like one of those kind of things. And when it went bad early, they just capitulated. And I'm not hearing that from him. So hopefully there's a different message internally from that. And, we see a whole different team when they show up tomorrow again at noon here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And I'll just say again, I think that funky noon start time does help them. Just because anything that's a weird start time, even in these times when they've had a couple of them, it's still... they're not used to it. Anything that sort of knocks Tampa out of its rhythm, night game, every other night, blah, blah, blah. Like, now you're noon on a Saturday, and it's a weird spot. Maybe that levels the playing field just a little bit. Back to your thoughts on everything. Mike in Nashua holding on boycotts in sports. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so these protests, unless they're going to go all the way and, like, walk away from the season, I don't get what, skipping a game at. I don't get what that accomplishes.
Well, I mean, you're not paying close enough attention then. I mean, whether you agree with it or not, they're getting stuff out of it. They got the Wisconsin Attorney General on the horn that day. They're getting polling facilities in the stadiums, which didn't exist before. They're doing some other stuff. You're just not paying attention to it. Okay? So, again, I just don't think you agree with their side of it. So it's easy for you to dismiss, I don't know what they're getting out of it. they're getting something out of it. And also awareness is something like that. That counts for something.
And it's got people talking, you know, and the polling station thing, we talked about it earlier too. So, you know, I can understand the argument of maybe it feels a little bit disingenuous because what's it really about? Is this just about, you know, you're trying to get Trump out of office? But at least it's, you know, if that's what they were looking to do and try to have something like that happen, well, they just accomplished it.
Right, exactly. I don't like the polling thing. I don't like that because I think there's a better case to be made that this is a human rights issue versus a political issue.
Yeah.
If you make it a political issue, you're just going to get – I mean, everyone's going to make it political anyway. Like, I get that. But – it's hard for you to claim on one hand this is about human rights, it's not about politics, and then demand polling facilities in the arenas. So what you know, what is it? And I know they're not saying you have to vote a certain way, but come on.
It's implied.
Like, you know, I mean, so if you want to keep it apolitical, keep it apolitical. If you just want to make it political, then make it political. But I think you lose – you know, you lose that argument by saying this is just human rights, it's not politics, and then you ask for polling facilities in the arenas.
Well, hold on. Sorry, Mike. Don't those intersect? Because, I mean, you hear the horror stories about, you know, limiting polling. Hell, it happened in Wisconsin earlier on this year in Milwaukee. There were like five polling locations. So it is, you know, to NBA players and to people in communities across the country, those two roads do intersect. You know, and there's a, you know, I mean, so many people will say that the right to vote is suppressed in this country in certain segments of the population in certain areas. So I can understand why this is an issue and why they would want to make this a part of their platform.
Yeah, I just think it's a political issue.
Sure, it is.
I mean, that's so, I mean, but when you say this is not about politics, it's about human rights, that's not, this goes against that. That's all. I mean, so just come on and say it's politics. Which it all is anyway, because all you a-holes out there can't keep anything apolitical. It's all politics. So, you know, I mean, why even keep up the facade of it not being political? Everything's right. Political.
Right.
Carl and Carver. Go ahead, Carl. What do you got on the Bruins goaltending? Carl!
Hey, Felga. Hey, I got two quick points I want to make. One, number one, I think Halak absolutely friggin' blows. Number two... whatever happened in that situation with you and Heidi Watney, that scandal?
Me and Heidi Watney scandal? You mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I never met the gal before in my life.
I think he might be alluding to the, wasn't there something with the
Jason Veritek rumors and whatnot? It was a long, long time ago. That's hardly a scandal. That was hardly a scandal. She just got bent out of shape because of something said on the radio. That's called, well, just another day at the office.
Who did I make mad today?
Right. Well, that's what that's called. Halak doesn't suck. Halak doesn't suck.
He is what he is.
I think he's 35. He hasn't played in a long time, and he's got a tremendous amount of rust, and he's been thrown in a high-pressure situation against a great team. And his team quit in front of him the other night. And so it's all conspired to make him look real shaky. At times. I think there's other times he's been pretty good.
That glove, though.
Ooh.
That is not elite hand eye sometimes.
If I'm the Lightning, I just keep shooting low glove.
Yeah.
Low glove. He can't seem to find that spot. So, like, everything. I get inside the red line, I'm shooting low glove. We've got Matt in New Hampshire on the Patriots receivers who apparently blow. Go ahead, Matt. Matthew!
Yeah, Felger. So I got to go back to the comment earlier with Nick Tanky about preparing the wideouts and the offensive line. You've got Tooney, who's basically a potential All-Pro, and then you've got Old Man Edelman and a bunch of
Okay, well, wow. That was Jimmy.
a little aggressive.
I think that was on the line. I'm not sure if it was okay or not.
The white people got a treat.
Yeah.
Woo!
I mean,
wow.
If we were in Britain, that might fly.
No, not even.
Wow.
Man.
Not much phases, man. That was a doozy right there.
Okay, but McCarthy, for you to say that the offensive line, the receiver group is close, is missing the mark. I wouldn't put it the way that caller put it.
Yes.
But their offensive line is much better than their receivers.
Tell me who their right tackle is right now, Michael Felger. Tell me.
Well, I was going to say Cannon, but he opted out.
That's right.
So
yep.
Hold on.
Cunningham, maybe?
Hasn't Bedard said that?
Kajust?
Kajust or Froholt, one of them, one of those guys has been through the... Or no.
No, it's Illuminor, maybe.
One of them has completely, like, I do my best to not really remember these guys and not care about them until they start giving up sacks and we rip them. Like, that's how it goes on the offensive line. But one of them, Kajust, Froholt, Aluminum, one of those guys has looked great, and the other guy looks like a complete bust.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. You know who looked great last year? Dan Skipper. What's he doing right now?
But don't give a darn start.
Where's Connor McDermott? Bad where are these guys?
Huh? Listen, but they're McCarthy, their receivers, again, the number one receiver so far at camp has been something named Devin Ross, who's 25 years old and is a rookie.
That's correct,
and,
yes.
And is 5'9". So Soucy is their best receiver so far. Their line's better than the receiving group. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying they both blow, Mike. I'm just equal opportunity right there. The receivers suck. The line blows.
And I see they plan to sign another one today, reading from Doug Kide of Nesson. Patriots plan to sign wide receiver Andre Bacchelia, according to a source. Bacchelia. Andre Bacchelia.
Yeah, Maz will be happy. Yeah. That'll be the only one. Here's McCarthy's update, and we're back with one more segment of your wonderful phone calls after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With 25 minutes to go, pull the goalie and put in the young kid who's never played a goal in his life. And he's 6'6"? Yep. He's 6'6"?
Doc Emmerich
was on his stomach all night.
Doc Emmerich talked about that for a good 5 minutes last night. Some good height talk at the end of the game last night. I enjoyed that.
What did you want Doc to talk about? Don't tell me of all the things.
I don't know, the game?
Of all the things that you
did. The series?
Of all the things
maybe
that
some
you,
things happening in the world?
Why pull the goalie? Why play more? Why Stadnica's not out there? Where's Corrali? Why does that lineup that he put out there last night? That lineup was crap.
Yeah.
That was one of the worst lineups we've seen ever.
It was not a good lineup.
Do you not like Doc Emmerich?
I just think he's a little overrated.
Oh, my God.
Why?
Bruce Kett, come on.
What?
I think he does a great job calling the game. I think at that point in the game, he knew what was going on, so you might as well have some fun. And by the way,
good height. I think he started that in the second period and then teased it, and they actually circled back to it in the third period.
Did you ask
Brian Boucher, he's like, hey, by the way, Brian Boucher, how tall are you, by the way, Brian Boucher? I know this is a little strange. How tall are you? And then he went on and on about
how he didn't answer.
Eventually they got to it, and they spent a good 5 minutes on it in the third period.
I did think it was telling, though, that they did not utter Vladar's name for 3 minutes. Go back. If you recorded the game last night, I didn't think to ask anybody
looks
to pull
like
it this
they're
morning.
They're going to go to the kid.
Number 80. How about that for a jersey number?
Yep.
Hello. They didn't say his name, and I was wondering, like, Emmerich is, even though if you think he's a little overrated, he is supremely prepared.
Yeah. And Vladar?
He knows the players.
Yeah.
But we've heard Vladash, like it's supposed to be pronounced Vladash.
Have we?
So, again, we don't need to see Vladash or whatever. I told you. Jones is a spot on Doc Emmerich.
He does that. He nailed that sing songy.
Brian Boucher.
Yeah.
I can't even do it.
Younger's stick betrays him. There is kind of a weird little affect that he has. I love him. I think he's the best.
Great.
As much as I love Al Michaels, I think Doc Emmerich is the best play-by-play guy in all of professional sports. He's knowledgeable about the game of hockey. He doesn't seem to favor certain teams or players. He genuinely seems into it. He makes the game sound exciting. Yes. some pretty unusual phrases you'll hear from the man. And he does have that sing-songy thing that he does. Sightseeing in the neutral zone.
By the way, Brian Boucher, how tall are you, by the way, Brian Boucher?
I just think, you know, Doc Emmerich, for the hockey people, is like God. He's lionized. Like he's just...
By the way, Brian Boucher, how tall are you, by the way, Brian Boucher?
So, of course, Jones, who is at war with hockey and hockey people, would attack Doc Emmerich.
Oh, Hockey Jones. That is Hockey Jones. He lives to break the balls or the sticks, if you will, of the hockey hardos.
So I promise you some Jones doing Doc Emmerich. There it is. Game time tomorrow noon here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I bet Doc Emmerich will have the call on. It's on NBC. It's NBC game noon tomorrow.
By the way, Brian Boucher, how tall are you, by
Pasternak
the way, Brian Boucher?
Saucers it into the neutral zone.
I know this is a little strange. How tall are you?
Nice and full.
So the Bruins playing for the series, their season, and probably the window. Let's go back to your phones on everything. We've got Steve and Dedham on the boycott situation, I think. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I really want to talk about they're going to have these polling stations in the arenas. I think this is actually great news. And if you want to say this is turning this in it's political, then so be it. I mean, our president has done everything he possibly could to try to suppress voters, basically shutting down the post office and not allowing people to vote, mail-in voting and all that. I think this is great news, and it's about time, and I think all the other sports should follow suit. Football, hockey, they should all follow suit, and because our president, he's done everything he can to ignite violence in the streets, whether okay. You disagree or not.
So, well, obviously people do agree and disagree. But this is, the polling thing in the stadiums is just a counter to people saying, well, what are they accomplishing? They're not even doing anything. No, they're doing something, and you may not like it, but you can't say they're not doing anything. And, oh, by the way, just making the statement of itself and bringing awareness to it is doing something, but no, they're actually doing something beyond that. Tom in Quincy on the Bees. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, I promise you'll never get a political call from me ever. listen, since I'm broadening my horizons and diving into the Bruins questions and stuff, right, I got a question about if Halak just falls apart and they get trashed tomorrow or something like that, because Rask is still under contract for next year, I think.
That's right.
But all my buddies, the overwhelming feeling is that there's no way that he can come back to this team. And the only question I have was, well, that would, you'd have to trade him. And for what his, you know, kind of walking away from the team this year in this situation in a playoff run, would that hurt the trade value for him? Do you
yes.
think other teams would be thinking, like, why the hell would I trade for someone, pay that kind of money for a guy that maybe is maybe not the most dependable person? When you're in the stretch run of the playoffs and you decide, you know what, I think I want to go home, I would just think that other teams are going to go, no effing way.
Well, kind of. I think that hurts him, but not. I think what hurts him more is that he's got 1 year left. And so why give up a big asset for someone you just have to wait one more year for and you sign for nothing as a free agent? Like, that, I think, works against him more than anything. Never mind his age. Never mind the fact he's, I think, the third or fourth highest paid goalie in the league. So you have to have the cap space. You've got to be, you know, I mean, I just don't think there's going to be tremendous value.
I don't either, but they should, you know, Sweeney should explore some options. I mean, just
yeah, well, no, I mean, I think the value to the Bruins is they create the cap space.
Yeah.
So, like, even if the return is poor, you know, draft picks, second, third round picks, like, I don't know. I think Rask's future in Boston is going to be tough for him. And you know, you should never make moves based on a fan base. But if most of your fan base hates, you know, can't stand the player, and it's just going to be, you know, there's just going to be this back and forth between the fans and Rask. I don't know if that's good for anyone. Like, I don't know if that's going to work. I do think Rask doesn't care. Like, I think that's pretty apparent. And so that's, you know, that's a strength of his, that he doesn't care. So good. He probably doesn't watch, doesn't listen, doesn't, not on Twitter, like any of that. He just doesn't care about any of it. So, you know, I mean, good for him. But he's going to be in a tough spot next year. Let's grab Mike in Medford on the Bees. Go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so kind of following up on that, I think that hockey's like the only sport left where the guys aren't worrying about the politics, aren't worrying about the money. It's just they're playing a win, and I don't think that Rask is you know, the guy you want in net when you're playing a win. It feels like he doesn't want to play hockey anymore.
I'll tell you, Mike, as spotty as Halak has been, and acknowledging that Rask is better, and your chances would still probably be better, I'm okay with still going with Halak. Like I said it before, I'm ready for the narrative to change versus, the goalie's just not good enough versus he's good enough, but he's going to crap his pants.
Yeah, right. Oh, and I so want this for so many levels because, I love them. I love this core. I want to see them win another cup. I want to be right about my take about Rask and how you can never trust him, and I'm never falling for the banana in the tailpipe of that guy again. And it'd be a better story anyway if they ended up winning it with Halak, and I'd love to blah everybody in their face. Like, you know how bad I want that? That's why that was so demoralizing the other night. Like, oh, Jesus. Like, not only do they get pulled after three goals, like, they're going to get blown the F out, and I have to watch the 6'6 Salmon come in afterwards in his first appearance ever in an NHL game, and he looks like a complete fool, like me on skates, on his belly.
The 6'6 Salmon. It's so true and on skates. So he's 6'9. And again, I said the other day, there was one camera angle where he was standing, up against the net. And the net comes like his belt buckle. Like, he's just giant. So it's like all he has to do is get on his knees and sit there and just assume the position. Get in your butterfly and don't even move. And you're covering 80% of the net. And he's out there swimming around on his stomach.
And the microcosm of that game where you see Braden Point get it and you see he's at mid-ice and go, oh, boy, like, this is going to be bad.
Oh, my God, that was that breakaway. It's like, oh.
Makes the kid look like a fool. Then the other end of the ice, you have the two little guys, Torrey Krug, getting into the brawl. It's like, oh, this is, what has happened?
Gong show.
Yeah.
Gong show. All right, Mike and Woburn, unfortunately, gets the final word. What do you got, Mike?
Yeah, Mike, I think this team's in trouble, and it's not just because of the goalie. I think that all the sort of the stoppage and everything conspired against them. You know what Tampa Bay's record was going down the stretch?
It was good, right? Oh, really? In their last 10, they were only 3-7.
Their last set, Mike, they were being set up for another El Foldo because Cooper had, remember the season before Cooper basically rode Vasilevsky into the ground? He won the Vezina, but he fell apart in the postseason. He was on pace to play about 5 or 6 games more this season than last season. They were giving up 4 goals a game in those losses going into this thing. These teams got to reset. You know, the Islanders have looked the best out of any team, I think, in the Eastern Conference. I've been so impressed with them. Do you know what their record was going into the postseason?
I don't.
2-11. 2-11. This stoppage, the Flyers were the hottest team in the postseason. The hottest team going into this. The Islanders were the worst. And now the Islanders look like the better team. And if this, this playoffs took place in April when it was supposed to, it would have been a boat race. The Islanders would be out of the playoffs.
But Mike, did you agree Tampa's, all things being equal, just roster to roster, Tampa's better?
I think Tampa is a deeper, more physical team. But I think going into this postseason, Mike, they had just suffered the Stamkos injury. They weren't getting him back because he's not back now.
Right.
They knew that they weren't getting Stamkos back. They were demoralized. Their goalie was exhausted. They were. I could have seen that team lose to Toronto. Now they know that Stamkos is. They're just about to get him back. They're clicking on all cylinders. They got a 5-month reprieve and they're taking advantage of it.
Okay.
And the Bruins,
maybe. Hopefully, the Bruins just got a 3-day reprieve and they can take advantage of it. Because now the series resets a little bit. They were supposed to play tonight. Now it's tomorrow. It's at a funky time. They've had an extra day. Maybe the Bruins can have a little mini reset. So we'll see.
Crazier things have happened. I mean, I know the Lightning have had the Bruins number, but overall, as a franchise, there is a slight whiff of loser on them. I know they won that cup in 04, but outside of that, like, they've mostly underachieved.
Yes, I would say absolutely. They're San Jose East. That thus concludes that portion of the program. We have the final word. We have any fresh material here coming up, Jimmy, I can tease the people about?
Sadly not. We're going to rerun a Fuppets that I think is very popular, was popular at the time.
Very good. A popular Fuppets coming away right after this in the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Be honest. Wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. We did Nobody. Mention Tom Brady earlier on in the program. Jim ran through his day in Bucks practice today. I almost said Patriots practice. And so that means we've got a best of on the Fuppets today, Felger and Maz. What Maz thought Tom Brady should do when leaving the office here in New England.
Okay, so if you are Brady and you are frustrated by the people you work for, there's only one reason you stay. One, you didn't have any other options. You have a family, you need the money, you got to support your kids, all of those things.
Or the Helsinki syndrome.
As in Helsinki, Sweden.
Finland.
Anybody who has that is frustrated with their employer, that has the ability to walk and can, gives them the finger and walks out the door. What's he doing? If he's pissed off, give him the finger and walk out the door. Like, part of me thinks I'm going to lose respect for him if he comes back. You're gonna bitch and moan behind the scenes all this time, all these years.
Right.
This is going to go on all the time. Just like, you know, Joe Schmo in the average workplace who would love to leave. That guy would love to leave, but he can't. You can. Give him the finger and walk out the door. 90% of the American workers will look at you and go, God bless you. I would love to do that. I would love to give the finger to my employer and walk out the door because I don't need them anymore. You follow me?
Of course.
Just leave. I wouldn't be pissed at him for leaving. Give him the finger and go.
Have a good day, Maz.
Such a simpler time.
Oh, it is.
And Brady did indeed do that, but I still can't believe it ended up being with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh. Well, you got some good merch out of it anyway, Murray.
I did. Sure. I did.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Looking for hope?
House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.